Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Well, everyone, welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from across Australia and around the world to get to know them a little bit more personally and the stories behind their success in the business of real estate. I'm excited about today's show. I'll be joined by Cathy Crampton, the General Manager of Property Management for 11 offices in the McGrath Group in Sydney. Cathy is going to share with us her background in the real estate industry, how she manages 30 staff across those 11 offices, and we're going to talk about the systems that Cathy and her team have in place to deliver a superior and consistent customer experience across all of their offices. But before we catch up with Cathy, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Real Estate Dynamics, the industry leaders in property management training, consulting, and rent roll and agency brokerage. Find them at realestatedynamics.com.au.
If you've ever wanted to hide certain pages or areas of your website from showing up in Google search results, this week's discovery is going to help you do that. Now, you might need a little help from your web developer to set this up for you, but what they're going to be using is Google's Webmaster Tools, and you will have to be a site owner or user with full permission to be able to do this for your site. But when you're logged into Google's Webmaster Tools, on the left-hand side, scroll to Google Index, remove URLs, and from there you can click on the Create New Removal Request and type in the URL of a page that you'd like to hide from showing up in Google search results for a period of 60 days. So you can renew it after that, but it will last for a period of 2 months. So certainly if there's pages you'd like not to show up in Google's search results, this is a tool that you might like to have a look at and talk to your web developer about. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited about introducing our guest today, Cathy Crampton, the General Manager of Property Management for 11 offices in the McGrath Group in Sydney. During her real estate career, Cathy has run her own agency and she has also worked in a number of corporate roles. As a proud member of the McGrath team, she describes them as an outstanding brand and industry leader in marketing and customer service. Cathy, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of McGrath.
Thanks, Josh, and thank you for having me. We actually have 11 offices now. We just in the last couple of weeks purchased another office in Epping, so we now have two offices in Epping, but it's very, very, very current. So it's very new. I spend about 70% of my time out there at the moment actually just bedding in that new business, because that's always a big commitment when you take that on. But very fortunate, we've got a great team out there. So we have offices that cover the Lower North Shore in Sydney, the Mid-North Shore, the Northern Beaches and the Hills area. So for those of you that aren't from Sydney, that's around about a quarter of the metro area of Sydney, and we make up about 24% of the McGrath network in its whole. So we're a very big chunky part of that business. The interesting part about that is that, you know, people sort of probably think, oh, all those offices are the same, and they're actually 11 quite different businesses. And so the complexity of this challenge is really understanding the nature of each of those beasts and then being able to manage that and, I guess, get the best out of those businesses, which is, of course, you know, engaging the people and getting the best out of those people. So I've got offices that are very investor orientated, or the rent rolls are very investor orientated, you know, particularly the older offices, you know, closer to the metro or city. And then as you move further out, they become more owner-occupied. For example, an owner who's popped up, gone overseas for a few years, rented out their very well-loved family home. So that presents a whole bunch of other challenges. It's all quite different. And I think the key thing is understanding how to recruit for those spaces, how to manage to those spaces, how to make them viable, what type of attention they need, what size rent rolls are going to work in each of those locations, and treating them as different businesses and getting some common synergy so that you then actually can run it like one business.
I'd love to break that down for just a moment, Cathy, and when you talk about recruiting for those various areas specifically and how big the rent rolls are in those areas. How do you, I mean, where do you start? Now, what sort of market research or what data are you looking for when you're, say, opening up a new office or recruiting or really looking for new business in those specific areas?
Okay, so you tend to, there's probably is a magic number, and I know there's no fixed number, okay? So I know some businesses will say you can run a pod, and I probably should step that back a little and say to you that there's two essential types of structures. There are portfolios where someone is a standalone operator, they run their own deal, okay, their own portfolio. And then you have typically a pod, which is where they operate as a team. You can run more people with pods or run more managements with a pod. That magic number is very dependent on the nature of the beast. If you've got more units, Lower North Shore, I can run 300 in my pods, a team of two, remember. If I'm going further out, my Linfield office, for example, the nice magic number there for two people is 200, okay, because a lot of big houses, very different revenue base. So when we're trying to work out what number of properties we can run, it is very revenue driven, and it's a little bit gut feel about what you know about the environment, because ultimately we want to deliver a good service, and you can push it to a point where they can't cope. For example, in Lane Cove, if I push that pod over about that 280, 290 mark, I start to see pain. Okay, I start to see complaints, I start to see service levels dropping, so I don't push it over that. I'm far better to focus on rent reviews, you know, and pulling the rents up and increasing the revenue that way, as I am to push the number any higher. And at that point, I open up a new pod and I put a new person there, and they're a standalone portfolio operator, and then it gets to about a 140 mark, and then I put on an assistant, okay? And it's very important to have very good BDMs or growth mechanisms into your rent rolls, so that you can increase that little one you've just opened up to a point of viability quite quickly.
That's really interesting, because a lot of, obviously, the common traditional way of running a property management department is especially if there's multiple offices, it could be portfolio, task, pod, and if they've got multiple offices, they'll just roll that traditional model out across all those offices. But what you've essentially done, Kathy, is, and what I hear you saying is, you've built the department the way that fits the market, as opposed
Correct.
To adopting a one-size-fits-all.
Correct. And there is no one answer. There really is not. I've got a slightly different model, for example, at the Northern Beaches, where my senior PM is also my growth person, okay, and then she has a property officer under her to take care of sort of the more administration task, because in that market she's very relationship-orientated and that works very well. In my Lower North Shore market that's much more investor-orientated, I can have a growth mechanism that can feed, you know, the senior PM. So, no, I don't think it's any one-size-fits-all, the same as we are not all our offices under that 11-office group. We're not all the same, okay? We are all McGrath, there's no question. We are all committed to excellent customer service. That's a given. We actually all do run to the same KPIs now, but we are not in essence or flavour the same beast underneath, and you need to morph your business to respect that.
No, look, I think it's really important that, you know, for people listening to understand maybe some of the things that you look for before you decide which structure fits that market. I'm quite interested to know, I'm sure our listeners in the property management side of the business are as well. Kathy, what things do you look for before you decide that pod will work there, or portfolio structure will work there, or task will work over there? What are just maybe one or two things that you look for before you determine which would work best, do you think?
I will genuinely say it's partly gut feel and understanding the nature of the market. You need to measure. The real key driver of that is you need to measure. So, for example, in every market I'm measuring what's coming in, so the growth, what's the nature of that growth, so is it units, houses, et cetera, where's it coming from? Is it coming from my sales agents? Is it coming from organic growth, in other words, self-generated? And I'm also measuring what's going out and why it's going out. So I ring every single loss management to qualify why they left, okay? And they don't – sometimes it's owners are moving in, sometimes they're selling – sometimes, you know, unfortunately, something happened, and obviously we need to take a learning from that. But if you know your numbers, then you can work out the nature of that rent roll, okay? So, for as I said earlier, my Beaches rent roll is quite different to my Lower North Shore rent roll. in the recent market upswing that we've had in sales, Epping, for example, has gone from being this reasonably owner-occupied territory to, at the moment, it's really big on investment. And so my rent roll there has doubled organically in a year. So wow. We're now running 500 out there. So it's substantial. So it's just understanding the nature of the beast. I always try and work to build into a pod. And the reason I do that is because from a business perspective, it creates contingency for you. At the end of the day, as a business owner, you need to protect your balance sheet. And things can happen, you know, and it's unfortunate, but things can happen to a team member or to a situation, and you need to be able to always deliver that service. So pods give you that contingency, and they're also viable. And, and the people, they own it. You know, they like to operate as a team. But I've got a team of 30 now.
Well, if I can I've just made some notes on that just to recap on what you just said, Kathy, for our listeners, is you really need to measure a couple of things. One, the nature of the growth.
Yes.
So where the business is actually coming in, where it's being lost, and pardon me, really just knowing your numbers in general is going to determine what structure is going to fit your department.
That's correct, because it talks to the flavour of the environment. You know, it'll talk you to whether it is an owner-occupied territory, whether it's a bit more of a softer relationship-based territory like the beaches can be, or whether it's a little bit more yield-orientated, and so it's about the number, which is what your investor territories are like.
And what ratio would you put, do you think, on that versus the actual the staff, the makeup of the staff? So, how much would the staff determine what structure you would go with versus, you know, the numbers that you talk about? What ratio would you, or what emphasis would you put on both, do you think?
It's predominantly about the numbers and the business, and it really does have to be because you are there to run a business. Now, I've got a really wonderful team. I love my team. You know, we've won every customer service award in McGrath for the last 18 months now. They even restructured it so we were a little bit disadvantaged, and we still won. they've got a great culture, and I'm very lucky, and they're a great team. But at the end of the day, it is still a business. Okay, so we do make decisions that are about the people, there's no question, but it's predominantly about what's best for the business. Okay, so.
Well, Kathy, when I was researching for this interview, I discovered you started your current role at McGrath back in July 2012, and I'm curious to know what your plan was when you started. So with such a large number of offices and staff to look after, what were your priorities and how did you set them up for what I'm sure has contributed to the long list of those awards your teams have achieved?
The thing that was really apparent very early to me, and I was fortunate, Josh, because I actually started in a back office role or an operations role with McGrath in November 2011. So I was kind of in the background. So you wouldn't see me on the web or anything. But what it gave me the opportunity to do was to learn about this business, and I had the opportunity to sit on the sidelines and observe what was happening. So when I stepped into this role as the head of PM, I knew straight away that they had a fundamental misunderstanding of what the business was, and that was they were seeing it as a one-size-fits-all. You know, we all wear the same jumper, it's the same type of business in every office, et cetera. And I'm like, no, you've got 11 different, or 10 at that stage, 10 different businesses, and this is what it looks like, and these are the flavours of each environment, et cetera. So the first thing I did was I went, okay, I need some common anchors for this business. I did take on PM Boss for this business, which is a document template system, procedure system that I've used in my own agency. I set up KPIs because at the end of the day, I went, okay, we need to measure everything. We need to know what it is that we're dealing with. And the third thing I did was I remember going to, we had this sort of big forum where all the general managers and head of departments go in Edgecliff. And I remember arriving at the desk one day, and I don't even think they knew who I was, to be honest with you. I went, oh, okay, we sort of don't really rate, you know what I mean? And we had a good look at that and went, okay, you can't police the business like this with multiple sites and big teams. So what type of operation do you want to run? I want to run an operation where people take pride and they own it, because as soon as they own it, because you've enabled them, then you won't be dealing with complaints, and, you know, property management can be a happy space. It doesn't have to be stressful. So I I sort of set my sights on us winning the customer service award, okay? And I thought, okay, what do I need to do to win that? Well, we need to be feeling good about what we do. How do we feel good about it? They need to know what they're doing. You know, we need some commonality, you know, things that combine us in all these disparate locations. So that's where the document template system was great. I implemented group meetings. We used to have monthly yoga sessions. You know, we'd go exercising together. We had lunches. So everything to kind of create a bit of a culture and to combine us. There was never a day that I did not speak to a team member. If I wasn't in that office, I ring them every single day and just talk to them about what's happening. I share, like I'm in the trenches with them. And I think you need to be that. They need to feel that, you know, you've got their back. So there was a whole bunch of that sort of thing happening. When we won the first award back in March 2013, remember this based on client testimonials, I really promoted that. I promoted it to all the sales agents. I promoted it to the owner of the business, being Shane Smolin. I promoted it to, you know, on LinkedIn. And I'm very strong about sort of presenting that, I guess, perception that we're a leader. And people feel good about that. Every single time we get a gift or someone gets a positive testimonial, I promote that to the whole team. You know, I publish it. And there are no secrets, because the other thing that I do is everybody knows everybody's data. Everything is published in a template. We call it a health check report. So some weeks I say we're in intensive care, and other weeks I say we're sitting in the garden, you know, like it just depends. But everything's about promoting and creating the perception that we know what we're doing. And when people start to feel that, then that's what they actually start to do, you know. And so the complaint tally went down, and suddenly all positive things are happening. People feel good about being here. They refer you other staff. You know, they want to stay, because property management can be really brutal. But the big key thing is talk the language that the people understand. You know, when we first sort of stepped into this situation a few years ago, property management was a bit like the poor cousin. You know, sales makes all this money, rah, 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 sales, everything's about sales. And I sort of went, well, would you tell me an agent that runs a $25 million business? I don't know one. So how about we start talking the language that they understand? They understand money and they understand customer service. And so we needed to get a very good handle on our P&L, which obviously we did. And interestingly, once we enabled the team and we restructured the team leaders, and, you know, I can talk to that later if you like. But once we enabled everybody and people felt good about what they were doing, the P&L takes care of itself. So we went from being not nearly as profitable to a very profitable operation now that is run very well with, you know, team members that I think own what they're doing.
Mm. Well, let's break that down, Kathy. There's some great value in that and what you've just mentioned, all the steps that you've taken since you started in that role. Pardon me. The first one I take out of that is systems. So getting a standardised templates across 10 offices wouldn't have been an easy feat, I wouldn't have imagined.
No.
But from there, really setting KPIs for people to meet. So need to be able to measure. You can't change what you don't measure. To get that consistency across your office and making it available to, you being available to all of your staff. You did mention that you're always making yourself available. I think that's a downfall of a lot of business owners or department leaders, that they are so busy that they don't make the time, or they don't prioritise the time to be available to their staff. And I think that's a big mistake. And if you ask many of the recruiters in the industry or anyone in the real estate industry that has left a position, a lot of the time it's got to do with the lack of leadership and the lack of support from the leader. So certainly being available to your staff is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm forever reclaiming my diary to make sure that I'm actually doing that. And I'm in the car and I think about, who didn't I speak to today? You know, and I just pick up the phone and give them a ring. And it's very important to be aware of that, particularly in an operation like this where I might not see someone face-to-face for a week, you know, because I'm in and out.
And really what you're doing with all of that, if you put all that together, as you said, is fueling the perception in the marketplace that the business is credible and strong as a team.
Yes, correct.
Hmm. Well, Kathy, let's shift gears a little bit. I think it's safe to say that you're not afraid of getting in front of the camera. I've seen a couple of your videos that you put together for the McGrath Network, and I've noticed that you're quite active in producing helpful video content for your officers. Can you explain for our listeners your strategies with using video and the results that you've achieved from this?
Yes, Josh. The videos, there's multiple sort of reasons behind that. I wanted to find a way initially of connecting more with the owners. So we're quite a large operation now. We've got several thousand properties under management. So the reality of me being able to physically phone an owner is getting sort of more difficult, okay? So I need to find ways to constantly connect. So we built an interactive newsletter, and that's what that video actually inserts to. I mean, I post them on LinkedIn, again, to create, you know, recruitment drives and keep driving the perception of where our business is heading. But I also put them in these newsletters. I try to promote, I try to work with different agents in the network where I think an area is a bit hot. For example, last month we did Epping. We've just bought another business in Epping. So I went, okay, let's grab a great agent, Wayne Bourne, let's pop it into Epping. I try and do sort of be fair about that. When I'm trying to promote the particular rental team in that office, I'll go and ask the top sales agent of that office, would you like to be part of our property management video? It's good for you. You can use it for your contacts. Plus, I'll put you out to our property management contacts. So they love it. Good business for them. But it's so that's around stakeholder management. It's around constantly connecting the sales side of the business with the property management side of the business. You know, and in the last 2.5 years, we've gone from 50% agent referred to now 70% agent referred. So that's one of the tools that we use for that. It's just a positive way to kind of connect the team. But I don't just use the sales agents. I also try at different times of the year to, for example, involve, you know, our preferred insurance supplier or our preferred depreciation schedule partner, you know, like end of tax year time, you know, around May. You might pop out the video with, you know, whether it's BMT or whoever's your preferred supplier. So I try and use everybody, but they are professionally produced. So we don't just do the little two-bit video. It's got to be a proper lighting and camera people and so on.
And can I just ask, you did mention that you mainly produce those videos for your clients. So if the strategy around your video content is helpful educational videos for your clients, has there been a spin-off into new business inquiries as a result of some of those? Have you been able to connect any new business back to those educational videos that you've sent to clients?
Interestingly, and that's a very good question, it's something I'm not measuring. At the moment, I would say no. I don't have an accurate handle on that. Some things you do, I think, when you're running a business, some things you're doing because you need to believe that you are, I guess, silently driving the growth, okay? Whilst we talked earlier about measuring everything you can't change, which you don't measure, some things you need to do not because you get an instant reward, you know, and it's just about building a profile and a perception. So our growth numbers year on year have increased by 25%. So 2 years ago we had a certain growth number, it went up 25%, then it went up 26%. So in 2 years we've grown 50% organically, which means, you know, I would like to think that those education videos are a part of that.
Mm. But really what it is, it's about adding value to your current client base. And
correct.
I think for a lot of businesses, that's where they struggle. They do look at ways to generate leads or convert new business. But really it's sometimes much harder to keep a hold of landlords and investors in a property management department, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the bigger you get, the harder it is.
And, you bet.
And you want them loyal to your business and you want them to see you as the leader to some degree too, because your staff will come and go. And I do love my staff, as I mentioned earlier. But sometimes they will come and go. Everybody's on a journey. But you are the balance sheet owner. So you need to do things that connect them to you.
Yeah, no, great answer. Well, Kathy, we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in the real estate industry, but here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time, whether you failed or you succeeded. With that in mind, can you tell us a story? Take us there with you, a moment in your career where you'd felt like you'd failed. Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Yes, well, I can never look past this one, I don't think. Back in May 14, actually, our REST server went down. That in itself is not unusual with an operation like ours. We have a terminal server set up, so sometimes it can get a little bit cranky. So it was down. It was down for a day. That was a little bit unusual, but that's okay. We operate. It was down for a second day. So then, of course, now I'm getting concerned. So this is Friday night. I'm in a conference, actually, and then I'm being told we can't run mid-month. So that was a little bit frightening, okay? So Friday night, obviously, by this stage, I've left the conference. I'm a little bit concerned. What's going on? I'm onto IT. I'm onto everybody. In a nutshell, we have lost all our data. So our server had combusted, and our backup was also corrupted. So we actually had no data, okay? Several thousand properties under management, not one owner, not one tenant, not one file note, not one paid to date, et cetera, was sitting in the system, okay? Wow. So we obviously send it off to forensics. I mean, there's, you know, it's not like we don't have access to really good support. We send it off to forensics. I spend Friday night till about 10 o'clock talking to people from Rock End, talking to people from, you know, other IT areas that I have built relationships with. And I'm very fortunate because I've got some great contacts who sort of could talk the layman's language of what they believe was happening or what they anticipated I would need to do. So by the time I got to Saturday morning, I was ready if forensics didn't find something, okay? Got to Monday morning, forensics didn't find anything, okay? Right, what do we do here? Okay, so I went and had a cup of tea. I went to the gym. Because you've got to be ready, all right? Because this is like you've got several thousand properties under management, no data. So I went, right, so I need to be ready. Then I come into the office around 9:30. I call all my team leaders and I bring them into Lane Cove, which is just one of our sort of more central hubs, and I sit them down. I say, okay, this is what's happened. We've lost all our data. This is what we need to do. By this stage, I've written an 8-page plan with all the steps of what I felt we needed to do to recreate the environment. And I said to the team leaders, you need to now go to your PMs in your various offices. We need to reallocate the workflow. So they're doing the day-to-day job. Team leaders, you're coming in here and we are going to enter every single piece of data, which we were able to draw from various, you know, dumps, bank statements, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So you need to understand too that we are very big on the action conversation diary. That was also all lost at that time. All right, so we had to recreate a whole environment. There was a whole bunch of steps we had to go through. We had to recreate the frame, so in other words, the owner, the tenant, the property, et cetera. Then we had to check and reconcile all the balances up to a date. Then we had to run our mid-month, okay? So our mid-month ran on about the 19th of May. I set myself up as being the person that spoke to any owner that had a problem. So I was sending out twice daily email updates, as well as taking any calls from any owners that had any concerns. Okay, so I set myself up as that person. I had a 2IC with my plan who was running the team in the office, and every single, you know, points of the day we would, you know, touch base and see where we were relative to the plan. We had everything recreated by the 21st of the month. We then were able to run our end of month successfully. Remember, we couldn't take direct debits or anything, so we were running direct debits like $1 million, $2 million, you know, to get all the rent in. So it was a really big operation. I was so lucky. I had the most amazing trust accountant. She worked like a demon. She was amazing. I had great support from Rock End, actually, who sent various consultants out to just support us, you know, through the recreation process. Because they'd never seen anything like this. No one at this scale had had this. It's just an incredibly unique situation. Once we had we incredibly lost one management out of all of that, and that was unfortunate. And it was just, well, you know, it was unfortunate, obviously, but one management out of several thousand with that experience is incredible. That was testament to the team's, I think, relationship with their owners. We were, you know, back up and operational, and everything was good to go by about the 28th. You know, everything was really back to normal. So it took a bit of time. But that was, I remember going home that first night when only I realised what we were faced with, okay, and lying in bed, and my husband said to me, and I went, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You know, 2.5 years of being like the absolute Nazi of bar mode, and like it's all gone. And he sort of said to me, well, you know, really this is a great opportunity, and this is where you step in and, you know, just show them what you can do. And I was just had a great team, and in we went and we had fun. You know, like I'd organise every day. Part of my job, other than the calls and the updates, was to organise a fun activity for the day. So I had like a masseuse come in. I had lunch delivered every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. We had people bake brownies and bring them in, you know. We'd take photos and post them up to Facebook, the things that we were doing, and we made it quite fun. You know, I have all my team volunteer to come in over the weekend and work through the weekend. I mean, I had people bringing in their sisters. I had two, my assistant who was on maternity leave came in with her baby, you know what I mean, and she sat there and did some data entry. So the team really pulled together, and it was really terrific.
Well, I did ask you to tell us of a moment that you failed, Kathy. I don't see that as a failure at all. I think a lot of people in that situation would have gone home that first night, maybe grabbed a glass, if not a bottle of wine, and really played the victim, and would have possibly blamed service providers and technology and look for anyone to blame, even though it wasn't their own fault and they couldn't blame themselves. You really didn't play the victim at all. You went and you said you on the Monday morning you went to the gym,
yep,
to get your head right, and you were accountable to your owners. And that's another thing that a lot of people may have missed in if they were in that same situation. They would have been so busy trying to get all the loose ends and tie them together that they would have maybe forgotten about the most important fact of actually talking to the client and telling them what had happened, and then pulling the team together to help you with that. So, look, I don't see that as a failure at all. I think that's certainly a moment in time where a lot of people can take strength from, whoever's listening to this, that really when you're in a situation like that, you really can't play the victim, can you?
No, you can't. Look, we all get lost in noise. Like, don't lie. I mean, I had a half a dozen bottles of red wine sitting above my head, and let me tell you that they were all gone. but I can't show that to the team. Do you know what I mean? So if you get lost in the noise, you will fail. At the end of story, it is noise. You have to corral the noise. We all, like, it's around all of us, and I'm no different to anybody else, but you must put it where it lives. It would not have served value to us at that time. We worked hard to build a good rent roll. It was an unforeseen situation. We needed to just get it back because we deserved it, and that's what we did, put it back.
Yeah. No, look, no doubt. I think it's a – congratulations, by the way.
A very great team effort.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, Kathy, what's your proudest moment in your career in this wonderful business of real estate?
My proudest moment is probably that, to be honest with you, is putting that back together and celebrating with the team a wonderful lunch at Chinatown. That was really lovely. I think that's my proudest moment. And I think equally or certainly not dismissing winning those customer service awards, I love what that says about the team. You know, they own it, they take pride. Even the new team that we've brought on out at Epping with the new office, you know, talking them through, oh, you've got a gift, that's 2 points. You've got a positive testimonial, that's a point. And they're all over it. You know, they take photos and they text them to me and email them to me because I have to keep telling. And that I think that I'm very proud of that because that's in an operation like this, what you need to do, they need to own it so that we can continue to grow. So that, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the technologies we've implemented. I'm really proud of, you know, I'm proud of them as a team. They're a great team.
Well, Kathy, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five where I'm going to ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a study conducted by the online ad network Chatika, which found that the top listings in Google's organic search results only receive a 33% share of traffic, compared to 18% for second position, 11.4% for third, and the traffic only degrades very quickly from there. You may have heard the saying that the best place to hide a secret is on the second page of Google. I think these figures are a timely reminder to look at how you're attracting people to your business online. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Kathy, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Name one person who's been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
I have several people that are inspirations to me in no particular order. Mm-hmm. Shane Smolin, my husband, Anthony Meeker, team members like Emmy Turner, who is just a really wonderful calibre of a person. No one particular person, but I deal with a lot of really great people. I'm very lucky.
Kathy, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Go to the beach. go for a run, read a book, drink a good glass of red wine.
Kathy, what is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
I really like, this is probably not a business book, but I actually like Richard Branson's biography because I find him really entrepreneurial. You know, and you can live life very safely, and we all have to operate in a framework to some extent. But I love those people that just take a chance and they live their life and they're, you know, they're just very inspirational. I love the energy of those sort of entrepreneurial people. So I really enjoyed that book.
What is your favourite technology resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
My iPhone. Email, texting, I can link in. I can do anything I want off my iPhone. It's the only thing that I pretty much need.
Kathy, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. But if you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Self-belief and attitude. I think if you have a strong sense of self-belief, people will go with you because they engage with that energy. If you have a positive attitude, everything that you want to achieve with your business and that you want to achieve in life will be yours and will be the business's. People who fail, to me, are people who haven't made it their choice. You know, you see so many people that go, oh, I just sort of fell into property management. I woke up when we sold the agency, I took about 6 months off, and when I was ready to come back to the workforce, I went, this is my career. This is what I choose to do. So if I'm going to do it, I want to be the best person in the best business.
Kathy, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with the motivation for the week ahead. What is your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
My success quotes change regularly. And the reason, I have a happy book. You can't see that because I realise we're on audio. I call it my happy book and it's got a whole bunch of little mantras in it. When I come into this particular office, I'll sit there and just speak through it and the mantra of the week. But really my mantra when I'm trying to drive to an outcome is you are either on the train or you are off the train. Okay, now it's a pretty strong statement. That doesn't mean you're a dictator. It doesn't mean I've got the whip out. But it means that we need to have some commonality. We need to share some beliefs. We need to all want to be the best that we can be. Okay, so you're on the train or you're off the train. Because anybody that's not on the train is bad for your business. And you need to be very brave and let those people go. They are not good for you.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the great resources that Kathy has shared with us today by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Kathy Crampton, spelled C-A-T-H-I-E. Well, Kathy, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out a little more about McGrath?
If they'd like to go to our website, www.mcgrath.com.au, or alternatively, I can be contacted by LinkedIn, Kathy Crampton, or alternatively, kathycrampton@mcgrath.com.au.
Kathy, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we'd love you to head over to iTunes right now and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we could improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.